sin. Yes.
For those of you who might be wondering, as I was reminded when I showed up tonight, you wore that shirt here last year. Judy says, nobody will even remember. It's good. Yes, I did, but there's a couple of additions. I did not wear sneakers last year. I had blue pants on last year. My beard was a little darker. And I had the shirt outside, so I tucked it in this year. Just like Mary Lou told me, and I feel really, really good about being here. Thanks so much. Thanks for all coming out tonight. You could be home watching Steve Harvey, Family Feud tonight, but you came here instead. And I'm grateful. Thanks to the praise team. You guys are boss. And all due respect, Tom, and to other churches that are here, whenever our group from Pittman is, there's going to be Sebastian singing and playing going on. I'm telling you, they are the best. And I have to tell you, after attending a worship service this morning, it's so good to be able to come back and sing some hymns that I know. Some hymns where I can actually hear the words. I'm getting old. Thanks be to God for that. I actually had a CD I was going to play for you. Now, it wasn't a lip sync sermon, but I was going to start off with some summertime songs, but I'm unable to play that for you tonight, but I'll see if I can get Larry to post those songs on the website for us. They're kind of fun. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Matthew chapter 14? Very familiar passage, I'm sure, to you. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. We're just going to take a few minutes and talk about something that I've actually attempted. I'll leave it at that. And I happen to know that there's a number of you that have actually done what I'm going to talk about. That serving. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he was sending the multitude away. Remember that Jesus had just fed the 5,000 and was going on to his next ministry stop. He was going to go off to pray, so he sent the disciples on their way to get a head start while Jesus speaks to the group. And after he had sent the multitudes away, verse 23, he went up into a mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening had arrived, he was there all alone. But the ship, which was now in the middle of the sea, was tossed with weeds, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I. Don't be afraid. You might remember in a previous sermon I had mentioned that when Jesus says it is I, he is actually invoking Jehovah's name, I am. In that particular context, he's saying, I am. Be of good cheer. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out of the water with it. And Jesus said, come on out. And when Peter came out of the ship, he walked on the waters to go to Jesus. And then he saw the wind was boisterous, and the waves were against him. He was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said, oh, you little thief, why did you doubt? And when they came into the ship, the wind and the waves ceased. Then they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. In true camp meeting style, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to pray for myself tonight. I'm going to ask Jim Pyre if he would pray tonight before we begin. All right?
Good evening, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for your servant, Pastor Jim. We thank you for the scriptures that you've given us. Lord, we pray for Jim now as he walks us through the scriptures that we will see the truth of the words that you have for us. May he lead us in new directions so that we will grow closer and nearer to you. Bring special blessings on him as he shares your word with us tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It is such a privilege to be able to stand in this spot. Every Sunday stood where Marshall seats us to it, and all the grace of this history. You don't remember Marshall Seats, the great Methodist preacher? What a great guy he was. What a great guy. Summertime brings great opportunities. And except if you live in Southern California or Hawaii, we only get to surf certain times a year. How many of you here have surfed? No, I didn't say how many have failed. How many of you have really? You've gotten out there on the waves in a surfboard. Oh, man, I'll tell you, nothing like it. Nothing like it. Which of us can ever forget that Brady Bunch episode when Greg Brady was out surfing and got knocked down? And we couldn't find out until next week. We had to wait a whole week before we could find this Greg who made it. And what's Marsha going to do? Oh, my goodness, it was this. But I grew up during a time when it seemed like every summer there was a new slew of surfing songs that would come out. Remember how you'd have the car ready on WIBG, and you'd be sitting back, and you'd be hearing, "Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how, come on a safari with me." Yeah, you know it. That was John Seeger's favorite song growing up. He put the rag top down, he'd have the do-rag going, he'd be, "Oh, this is great." Beach Boys has so many wonderful ones. One that I always like in the summertime, especially, you know, before Barry Manilow came along, and us guys, whenever there was a breakup, would listen to his songs, you know. There was Surfer Girl. Remember that? How many of us? We couldn't ride to surf together. And we just go walking the boardwalk, eating our mac and mango pizza, you know, and just being miserable all night. Oh. But then Bruce Johnson had our Surfer's Delight. Or how about one, if you want to hear somebody go full falsetto, I want you to listen to Steve do White, the introduction of White House. And then the drummer comes out. How many of you remember that one? Oh, Mountain. Yeah, I mean, all on this CD for $49.99. There was Surf City by Janet Dean. My favorite. One of my favorite rock groups. One Hit Wonders, the Trash Men. They had out Surfing Bird. Remember that one? There was Bonsai Washout by Dick Dale and the Deltones. And Jan and Dean had out Honolulu Lulu. Oh, classic, epic surfing. But you know, if you talk to a surfer, there's almost a spiritual, religious connection to what they're doing. They become one with the ocean. They, in the waves, somehow communicate and connect to each other. Now, that's if you're from Southern California, I'm sure. None of the guys from Jersey. But the Fantastic Baggies had out the song "Save Your Sunday for Surfing." Good South Jersey group. How about the Essex and their epic hit "Great for Surf"? Where Johnny Fortune was Soul Surfer. Yes, there is a spiritual connection after all between them. But my favorite surfing song of all time, since you asked, my favorite surfing song of all time comes from Australia, 1963. By Little Cat. And the song's called "He's My Blonde-Headed, Stompy-Wompy, Real Gone Surfer Boy." Yeah! That was one. Those of you who served in the South Pacific in the military, in the Navy, I know you guys know that song very, very well. But surfing is, it's fun. And sometimes, you know, when I get out to the shore and when we used to live in Florida as a kid, I used to watch guys out on the surfboard, and it looks easy. It looks simple. And when somebody does it right, it's very graceful. and it's so majestic to watch. And I began thinking, even at a very tender age, that, man, doesn't surfing really help us connect to the God's Word a great deal? Because we need to be able to ride the waves in this life. Waves are going to come in all shapes and sizes to us. One other song that is on this CD, we're going now for $29.99. Get them now, okay? Or two for $40. And one of them is the theme song of Hawaii Five-0. What comes to mind the minute you hear it? You think of that big giant wave, don't you? That's the first thing that comes to mind. It's just ingrained there. We get to heaven, even before Gabriel blows the trumpet and the drum roll starts, we're going to think of that big wave coming in on life. But waves come at us in all different fashions. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're big, sometimes there's one wave after the other. And isn't that how we describe our life sometimes? Just one wave after the other. Especially if we're going through times of grief or extreme difficulty, we start thinking, what's next? What's next? But yet Paul says, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Surfers become almost one, if you will, if you'll allow me, with that surfboard. And they have a very positive mindset. And that mindset is to keep going forward. They don't even look at the wave once they mount the surfboard anymore. Because all they're looking at is their point of destination. Where is this wave going to take me? And they and the surfboard literally become one and move together as one to ride that wave out. Jesus was a surfer boy. A great storm. The Bible tells us very clearly, verse 24, there were great waves out on the Sea of Galilee. Great wind. But it tells us it was going contrary to him. And as they were trying to deal with the situation in their own, they noticed Jesus coming out at them. And then after the exchange, little Pete said, Lord, if it should, let me come out too. Jesus says, come on out, man. The water's fine. It's great. And then Peter gets out. And they have a little surfing class together. And it reminds me of some key elements of surfing and in our spiritual walk together. The first thing that you need are waves. You've got to have waves or you can't surf. If you have no waves and you're on a surfboard, you may as well be on a raft. Right? But you need waves. Waves are essential. Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world. Boy, what a view from up there. Jim, you're the only one who will admit to surfing.
I was wrong.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to confess and we'll absolve you when it's all over. But catching a wave is all about timing. It's all about timing. You have to wait until everything is right. Everything is in place. And then you ride the wave. You ever watch what happens? They watch, and once they see the wave coming, what do? They start paddling, and then they stand upright. They don't lay flat. They get themselves standing upright. Peter went out into the water. How was he? Upright. Now, yes, he did start to sink. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he was upright. His feet were planted firmly on Christ. His feet were firmly planted. And even as Jesus says in verse 31 about his little faith, it was that little faith that gave him the confidence to be able to surf in a situation when the rest of the world says, you can't surf in this water. You can't make it. You can't do that. And because he was out there with Jesus and his feet were firmly planted on Christ, he was able to do it. But the timing. What if Peter had gotten out of the boat before Jesus arrived? He'd have gone under. He would have never made it. He had to wait for the Jesus moment. Is it possible in our walk with Christ that sometimes we try to outrun Him? How many times have we gone to the altar and we've just said, "Oh, God, my heart is so heavy. Let me just lay this here on the altar." And then when we get up from the altar, we have a string attached and we take the problem with us again. He waited. The timing was perfect. And once Christ was firmly there and firmly in place, then Peter was able to get out. And you know, friend, I think that reminds us a great deal of our own life. Sometimes waves are going to crash in on us. Perhaps you're experiencing a wave right now. Wait for God's timing. That's why he says, "Be still and know that I am God." How many of the Psalms tell us to be patient? To be patient. And we always want to run ahead of God. I personally believe, you can debate me on it, that's fine, but I personally believe that we miss out on many blessings of God because we are too far ahead of His timings. Isn't it true that when we're going through life, it's only when we look back that we're able to see God's timing in everything? Timing. You've got to wait for the wave. Good surfers know, okay, that's just a crest. That's only going to be a 3-footer. That's not going to be. Ah, here it comes. They know the timing. They're in tune with it. Are we that in tune with our Savior that we know the timing of when to act? Second, now here's a scary one. This is one that most comfortable Christians don't like. We have to move toward the waves. Say, what? Jim, you don't understand the troubles I'm having in my life. The waves are finding me out. Jesus is still after them. What? Yes, go after them. You ever watch? Okay, we see the waves. They start splashing out. Then they start that little rowing routine, and boom, they're up. And they're ready. They go out to meet it. Sometimes in our lives, too many of us live in denial. Instead of dealing with a spiritual issue, instead of dealing with any interpersonal issue, we just say, "Well, we're going to let it go. We're going to let it go. I'll catch the next wave. I'll wait till the wave catches up with me." And especially if it's an interpersonal issue, that wave can get so big that we'll never be able to ride it out. You go out, you attack it. You go out and you get it. In other words, if you watch surfers, they have a game plan. They have a strategy. Paul calls this spiritual warfare. We have a strategy. Ephesians 6. We have a game plan. You move out toward the waste. Go back to 2 Samuel 17. You know, the story of David and Goliath. Saul's army is frozen for fear. They're not moving forward, they're not moving sideways, they're not moving backwards. They are literally paralyzed in fear. What does David do with Goliath? Does he decide, "Oh, wow, I know a secret passageway, and I'll sneak up on that giant"? Does he say, "Hey, you distract him, and I'll sneak around him"? No. What's it say? It says David went straight at him. He went straight at him. He went straight at that 9-foot wave that was standing in front of him and holding him and God's people back. And what happened? He rode the wave out. He rode the wave out, and God got the victory. Because he went out and he moved toward the wave. Time and time again, we read through Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of the prophets, minor prophets, how Israel is in despair. Wave after wave, the Bible says, of destruction came upon them. And most of the time, it's because they were sitting still or sitting back or going back or looking back instead of going right out after it like a good surfer will and attacking the waves. And once you do that, you can ride it out. You can ride it out until you reach shore. Jeremiah 33:6 says, "Behold, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them to reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth." Yes. That was after a wave of King Nebuchadnezzar came in on God's people. After he had told them, "Look, go out, go out." Third, this is going to sound so dumb. Well, coming from me, it won't be, but it's going to sound to you like, need a surfboard. Don't be like those heroes. I grew up with some guys. You see, in growing up in Delanco and Riverside, the greatest bodies of water we had were the Delaware River and the Ransom Creek. Creek. C-R-I-C-K. Creek. And but we always had guys in high school. They thought they were king surfers. You know, they listened to the Beat Boys' Endless Summer album, and suddenly that made them an official surfer. I'll never forget Barry. I don't want to say that was his first name. I'm going to say his last name just in case he's here. And that is this. He thought he could ride the big waves without a surfboard.
I'm going to body surf.
Like, yeah, I'm going to sit here with my medical bag and just wait for you to wash on shore. Okay? It didn't work. It didn't work. You need a surfboard. But that surfboard needs to be primed. A surfboard needs to be ready. Do you know there's actually, you have to wax the surfboard down. And what happens is, out there, the wax that they use actually helps the feet become firmly entrenched. We'll get back to this in a second, but they also tie a nylon string around their ankle connected to the surfboard. But all of that needs preparation. The surfboard needs to be properly prepared. You've got to make sure there's no cracks, no splinters. Spiritually speaking, doesn't that remind us to make sure that we're prepared? Before we start our spiritual warfare. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about the whole armor of God, there's only one offensive weapon that the people of God has, and that simply is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, 17. The Word of God. Do we know the Word of God? This is what will stick us to the board. Why? Because Genesis and Revelation points us to Jesus Christ, who is the surfboard, who is the one that we ride out. So we need to know what this says so that we can be prepared when the waves of life are crashing in all around us. We stand on the surfboard. And remind you of that great hymn, standing on the promises of God. In all due respect, you've heard this before if you've ever been to a church, but I really believe there's too many people sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Amen to those of you who are standing. Okay.
And we need to stand on the Word of God. That is what gives us the ability to withstand, the ability to be able to ride out.
It was the Word of God that gave Peter the confidence, listen, and the strength to even get out of the boat. Jesus said the Word of God, John 1:1, spoke the words of God, "Be of good cheer, I am, be not afraid." We need to make sure that our surfing abilities are improving by daily workouts in this book. That's the only way to be able to navigate through life. That's part of the great history of camp meeting. is the fact that the Word of God is going to be lifted up. That we preach Christ and Christ alone for our daily life. So we need to be prepared. You know, in life, when waves are crashing in all around us, too often we go, I can handle it myself. Or the comment that really breaks my heart, God's busy with bigger things to worry about my little thing. Friends, listen to me. Many of you I've never met before tonight, and I just want to say this to you. If you were the only human being that needed saving and needed salvation, Jesus Christ still would have died on the cross just for you. So everything that is bothering you, God wants to know about it. And God wants to enable all of us to be able to ride out these storms of life. Don't believe the lies of the culture and the world and pop psychology that says you can trust yourself. You can figure it out totally on your own. You don't need God. You don't need a higher power. No, I beg to differ. The song that I used to sing in the youth group growing up, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no others. Jesus is the way. He is the way. Fourth, there's going to be times we're going to be knocked off the surfboard. Peter was out there having a great time. He was catching a wave. And then what happened? He got knocked down. He started to sink. And we could go and we could unpack all the reasons why. But it takes, to be a good surfer, it takes time. It takes practice. Listen to me, friends. Just reading the Bible through one time in your life is not enough. Just hearing a preacher or a liturgist read it on Sunday is not enough. We have to have a daily dose of this every single day in order to gain strength and gain ability and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Anything less will keep us totally unbalanced in our lives. A man who was one of my visiting professors when I was in college, Charles Ryrie, in his book, Balancing the Christian Life, he says, balance is the key to a wholesome spiritual life. Dr. Ryrie goes on to say that an unbalanced application of the doctrines related to biblical spirituality, listen, will result in an unbalanced Christian life. Or to borrow from James 1, every wind, or every, as some interpretations have, every wave of doctrine that comes down the road can sweep us astray if we're not grounded in the Word of God. Hello?
Yeah.
Did you go on tonight?
Okay. Amen.
Got thoughts of amen? Yeah, thank you.
I want to get amen, please.
I'm sorry.
When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He fell off the board. He started to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus Christ and he started to lose it. He started to believe the lie that said, you can't do that. Oh, your Jesus is just an escape from reality. But what happened? What happened? That little faith, that little speck of mustard seed that was in Peter, it forced him to turn his head right back to Jesus again. And just like when the surfboard is connected by the ankle, the surfer is able to climb right back on that surfboard again and be safe. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. He picked him right up and put his feet, as the psalmist said, on a rock. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119:37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Revive me in your way. Revive me in your way, O God. Even though the rest of the world says no, I still want to follow you. Let me ask you a question I used to ask college students. If nobody in the world, no one believes that Jesus Christ was Lord, what would that do to the Lordship of Christ? That
nothing.
Nothing. That's exactly right. Nothing. You see, Jesus' lordship is not dependent on us. His lordship to us is dependent on us believing. And he's still Lord no matter what. He was Lord before the first human being was born. He was Lord even when he died on the cross. He's still Lord. But the lordship gets enacted in our life when we reach out by faith and we take it. That's why the psalmist says, turn my eyes on these things. Let me focus on you. Revive me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what Peter is doing here. That's what that little piece of nylon that surfers have from the surfboard to their ankle. Even if they're knocked off, the surfboard is right there within reach. And they can climb back on if they choose to. It's attached to the ankle. But what if the surfer doesn't reach out and take the surfboard? The surfboard's still there. Just like Christ is still there. All within arm's reach. You see, it's up to us to do it. It's up to us. Peter reached out. I like what James White, Pentecost, says. He says, Peter demonstrated faith that Jesus could sustain him when he walked in obedience to his command. For the storm had not subsided. The winds had not quieted. Did you get that image? The storm was still going on during this time. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, the storm didn't stop until after they got back in. So, Dr. Pentecost said, for you and I, the storms will come, listen, into our lives. Listen. Our faith is not a guarantee that our life will be one of ease, comfort, and pleasure, as many prosperity preachers teach today. That's bad theology. That's not the theology of Jesus. But Jesus says that in the midst of that, like that surfboard, he's right there next to us. And all we have to do is reach out for that nylon and pull it. And he's going to make sure that we're able to ride it out. I get a kick out of Job 22:11. The Bible refers to three guys as Job's friends. Well, if a careful read of Job will indicate that with friends like that, you don't need enemies when you're going through a tough time. And one of them says to Job, wow, an abundance of water has certainly covered you. Wow, look at you lying there in that pitiful state. I mean, that's what he's saying. Instead of throwing him a lifeline. Lamentations 3:54 says, water has closed over my head. I am lost. The psalmist says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I've come into the deep waters, and the floods have swept over me. But because Christ is our surfboard, we just reach him. He's right there for us. And we can climb right back, listen, on top of him. Do you ride the surfboard from underneath? No, you ride him on top. On top of him. Okay, here's the moment you've waited for. No, not the end. In his Grammy Award-winning album from 1972, Elvis sings a song that was written by Andre Crouch. Great song. It's called I Got Confidence. Some of you may be familiar. It is it. You've got to look this song up. It's Paul, especially the way Elvis does it. And I like the second verse that says, Job was sick oh so long till the flesh fails from the bones. His wife, his cattle, his children, everything he had was gone. But Job in his despair, he knew that God still cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights, Job said, honey, that's all right. Because I got confidence. God's going to see me through. And on it goes. What a great song. What a great testimony. Andre Crouch right there. When troubles come in our way, when we can't tell night from day, when we're all mixed up, we have Christ right there. He says, hop on board. Ride me in, sure. The final thing is this. A surfer finishes out the ride. Is there anything more beautiful than to watch him calm? And even when it looks like the wave has overtaken them, they come out of it. And what do? They land ashore safely. It's a beautiful thing to behold. And isn't there great rejoicing and celebrating? How about when God rides us through those storms of life? Look at the Bible says, they came back in the boat, and the wind and waves stopped. Then, all of them there worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. Great joy, great exhilaration from that ride. Go ahead, pump your fist in the air, hold your hand in the air, praise God. That's what it's all about, to do that. Surfing is about being out in the environment. Jesus said in John 17, Father, I pray that they won't become part of the world, but I am sending them out into the world. We're going to experience all that life has had us, friends, but we don't have to sink. We can ride out our surfboard, Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13a remind us that every day, listen, every day is a gift to be enjoyed. There are some rides the surfers take that aren't so pleasant. Y'all seen that amazing video of the shark that almost got the guy last week? I never understood how there's so much resistance, Carl, in the water. How you're supposed to punch or say, wait a minute, let me poke in the eyes. I mean, if his head's this big, I don't get it. But the guy made it to shore. The next day or the day after, guess what? He was back out there surfing again. And he said, boy, it felt great. Isn't that what God does to us? When God gets us through one wave of life, isn't it good to get out there again? Because why? We've gained a little more confidence. We know that even if we get knocked off that surfboard, he's going to do it. We can enjoy every moment of our life, even in difficult times. Sometimes we get, and I understand this, believe me, in my own personal life, I understand this. Sometimes we get down. Sometimes we become inward focused. Sometimes we think the world hates us. We think nobody loves us. Kind of like Jonah, chapter 4. After God saves Nineveh, Jonah has that big pity party. God says, what's your problem? We can do the same thing. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in Philippians, I don't complain about having food though. I've learned to be satisfied in whatever state I'm in. Jersey, Delaware, whatever state I'm in. I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to have plenty. I've lived under all kinds of conditions. I know what it means to be full, and I know what it means to be hungry. I know what it means to have much and too little. But Christ gives me the strength to face anything. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that there's anything that can come in your life that can take you out of the hand of God? If you do, I'm going to place you to the altar. I want to invite you to a place where you can be reconnected to your surfboard. Where you can leave this place tonight knowing that whatever wave is hitting you now, whatever will next week, next year, whenever it's going to be, you can stand strong and you can arrive at shore safely. Look, even when that last wave that we call death washes over us, there's a dry shore waiting for us. So what do we have to fear? December 1940. Mrs. A. E. Gadsby of Niagara Falls, Canada, mailed a Christmas gift to her daughter in Prestwick, Scotland. The ship carrying the mail was torpedoed by a German sub off the west coast of Ireland. The package is never going to get there. Just wasted all that time, wasted all that energy, wasted all that money. That's what most of us would say. The ship carrying the mail was torpedoed, but there was a tide that floated the package ashore on the beach of Prestwick, Scotland. The contents were soaked, but were still perfectly usable. The address was still legible, and the package reached the addressee. You and I have been stamped with an address. We've been stamped with an address. Friends, we're going to have torpedoes come at us in life. But you know what? The tide, the current, the wave, and riding on the back of Jesus is going to help us land safely on that shore in that next life. But oh, God promises in this life as well. Father God, thanks so much. I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that anything I've said or done won't complicate your word, but Lord, that it will be in such a way, Lord, been able to be put forth so that your Holy Spirit will be able to teach us what we need to hear. Father God, thanks so much for the opportunity to be able to ride the waters of life. And Lord, even though we know that we're going to face one wave after another, yet, Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is closer to us than a brother, as the Old Testament tells us. And Father, that all we need to do is reach out and jump on his back, and he will ride us in safety and shore. So help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face. And Lord, may we also, like a good surfer, stand on the promises of God. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray.